probably more stuff listed in my outline that I could get out probably to you today. But I want to try to bring it to you, get to the main gist of what the Lord has spoken in me this week. I love it when the Lord puts a hook in your heart and don't let go. And nothing more precious than the Word of God. And I praise the Lord for His blessings and His mercy to us. I appreciate having visit with us today, Tammy Godsey from here in Kingsport. Tammy, we're glad you came to be in the services today. God bless you for having come this way. Exodus chapter 3. If you will, stand with us in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Moses, 40 times in the Bible, is called the servant of the Lord. Before Moses became anything in life, he was first a servant. Before you'll ever do anything to be used of God, you must first be a servant. Jesus said, the greatest among you, whoever will be the greatest among you, he'll be your servant. And so service is what the Lord's looking for. The life of Moses, one writer said, is seen in three 40-year cycles. The first 40 years of his life, Moses spent thinking that he was somebody. He spent the second 40 years learning that he was nobody. But he spent the last 40 years realizing that God was the body. Amen. And it seems like it is something that we almost are ready to die. That we're in the last years, the last cycle of our life sometimes, before we find out that it's not about us, but it's about Him. Amen. It takes us that long to get over our pride and get over ourselves, you know. And to find out that we're put here by Him. I still think of that verse of Scripture in Psalms where it said, it is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And here in this Psalm, in Exodus chapter 3, God's getting ready to map out Moses' life. Moses has messed it up. He's just made a mess out of his life. He tried to do a good thing, but he did it in the wrong way. He did it in the energy of the flesh. You can sing in the energy of the flesh. You can preach in the energy of the flesh. You can testify in the energy of the flesh. You can witness to souls in the energy of the flesh. But I tell you what gets the job done is when the Holy Ghost of God directs what's being done. And so this morning, I want us to look at these verses beginning in verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Oh, what a blessing this morning. to know that God knows our sorrows. To know this morning that He knows what you're into. That He knows what you're facing. And God said, and they'd been crying for over 400 years. And God said, I know their sorrows. I want to tell you, darling, God knows your sorrow this morning. He knows the sorrow of your heart. He knows the battle that you face this week. He knows the bad news you got. He knows the insults on the job. He knows all about it. He said, I know their sorrows. And then in verse 8, and I am come down to deliver them. Amen. Out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, into the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hevites and the Jebusites. He said it's going to be a land of milk and honey, but there's also going to be some enemies over there. Along with the blessings, we have to fight the giants. We have to fight enemies. But then in verse 9, now therefore behold the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me. Just a few verses back up, Moses said, who am I? But God said, I am. Amen. It's not important who I am, but it's important that I know who he is. Amen. Father, thank you this morning for the Holy Spirit that, Lord, anoints the Word of God. And Lord, it is anointed, Lord, and it's words on page. But Lord, when we begin to read it, the Holy Spirit of God begins to stir it in our heart and pour it into our very being. Lord, what a blessing and what a refreshing that you bring to us this morning. Thank you, Father, for just refreshing me as I've read your Word today. Now, Father, I pray that you'll help me this morning to preach and preach through me. And I pray, God, that you remove everything out of my spirit, Lord, that would hinder the flow of the Holy Ghost through us this morning. Lord, may this crowd not see a 6'5" preacher, but may they see Jesus, Lord, manifested, high and lifted up above everything in this world. Father, have your way this morning. Take this message and divide it severally to our hearts, as each person needs it today. Lord, you go and sit down at a table, and there's different things there to eat, and some things will appeal to others, and some things will be attractive to some, and some will not care for it. But Lord, I pray as we sit down at the table this morning that, Lord, that you'll just let each of us receive the nourishment spiritually that we need, Lord, today from this message. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake, thank you for standing. You may be seated. What a Savior. Amen. Shame on the devil. Amen. I want us to look at these verses this morning, and I want to preach today, and by the help of the Lord, and try to use the thought that the Lord has given me. But I just want to preach this morning on the subject, echoes from the burning bush. Echoes from the burning bush. I remember the Chuck Wagon Gang, the first time I ever heard that song, sung when I was a kid. And currently they sung that song, and it's been sung across the years. But here is echoes from the burning bush. As I said, Moses had went to Egypt and was raised. He was a Jew, but he was hid of his mother. There was a death sentence out against all of the Jewish males, 2 years of age and under. And Moses' godly mother took him and hid him in an ark, prepared an ark for him, put him in that ark, put him down and hid him in the Nile. And his sister, Miriam, watched over him. In the providence of God, Pharaoh's daughter came with her maidens to bathe. And God put that little baby, and it cried, and it whimpered, and it caught the attention. And they brought the little baby, and when they took the lid off the ark, there was that little Jewish baby boy looking up in the face of Pharaoh's daughter, the very man who had ordered the execution of all the male boys, the very man who had ordered the execution of that little baby boy if they had found him. But that little baby crying, and God squeezed the heart of Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him and took him to the palace and to be hers. And Miriam ran and said, "Would you like for me to get a nurse to take care of him for you?" And she did. And God saw to it that the devil had to pay Moses' own mother for raising him for Pharaoh's daughter. Well, in these things this morning, you know how that he was raised. And there came that day when Moses came to the ears, and he was educated in all of the ways of the Egyptians. But there came that day when Moses realized who he was and what he was and what God had called him to be. I want you to look this morning as we get the message in verse 2. I want you simply look at the bush. And the Bible said the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now, in my thinking, until last night, I was sitting there at the house as I was working on this and typing my outline and studying, running some references. And I got to thinking about that fire. I had always looked at that fire, and somehow I knew that God spoke out of that bush. But I'd always thought, well, that God had set that bush on fire and stood there and drew Moses to him, but that's not it. I believe that fire that was in that bush was a burning fire of God. The Bible tells us that our God is a consuming fire, and that he put him in that, and God spoke to him out of that bush. I want you to notice that bush, number one, is just a simple bush, just an old thorny scrub bush. And that tells me that God can set anybody on fire. Amen. Just God can use anything that's made available to him. And just a bush. But notice, it was simple. It was special because God chose it. That wasn't the only bush around, but God in his sovereignty chose that bush. I don't understand what God's criteria is. I know that David had 7 brothers that was older and looked better than he and looked more like a king than little David did at the age of about 12. But God chose David. God had rejected this one and this one and this one. And when David came before Samuel, the Spirit of God said, "That's him. Anoint him and use him." But notice, not only was that bush simple and special, it was saturated. It was saturated with the glory of God. Hey, it doesn't matter to my friend this morning what you look like. God doesn't base, and God doesn't call people based on looks. God calls people with criteria based on him. I believe God selects people based on the fact, do they have a heart for God? And are they willing to him? Are they obedient to him? In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 24, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." And so God saturated that bush. God can saturate you with his Holy Spirit if you'll be yielded to him. Not only that, but it was a significant bush. It was to be used in God's purpose. Listen this morning, it is not my job to understand all the time why God's doing what he's doing. My job and your job is to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. It's just to be available to him. And so God uses just a simple bush to call it, to get Moses' attention. Now notice this. In verses 7 through the first part of verse 10, I want you to see, look at the bomb that God dropped on Moses. Now Moses had Moses went out and he said he saw the oppression of his Jewish brethren under the Egyptian bondage. And the Jewishness in him came out, and the anger and the rage in him came out, and he said, "I'll handle this myself." You ever said that? You ever said, I'll straighten this out myself? That's what Moses said. He found two Egyptians. He found an Egyptian being mean to a Jewish man, and he went and got him and killed him and hid him in the sand. But notice this. The next day, he saw two Jewish brethren fighting and arguing. And he went up to them. He said, "Now, do y'all think, fellas, that's right? You all are brothers. You all shouldn't be doing that." And one of them turned around to him and said, "Are you going to kill us like you killed that Egyptian yesterday?" See, he hid him or covered him over with a little sand and thought nobody would ever know. You and I have tried to cover up our mistakes with a little sand, amen, and thought nobody would ever find out. And we thought, well, I've done the right thing. I'm trying to do the right thing. And so that makes it okay. But listen to me. Moses knew that the cover was jerked off of him. And Moses runs. And he runs to the backside of the desert. He runs to Midian. He runs to his uncle's house. And the Bible said in Exodus chapter 2 that Moses was content. Get this morning. Moses was content to dwell with the man. Moses was content just to stay right there. Moses, in his mind, he's thinking, "I've messed it up. I'm wanted for murder in Egypt. And it's just better for me to stay right here and take care of these sheep. And it would have been good if I could have got my people out of there, but I'll just stay over here. I'm content to stay where I am." And listen, there's a lot of folk who flub up in life. And then they get and they run, rather than face what they've done, they run and they hide in the desert, and they are content to live like that just as long as they don't have to face what they do. But folk, hear me, sooner or later, God brings every one of us face to face with ourselves. God brings every one of us face to face with our failure. God brings every one of us face to face with our sin. And we have to deal with it by taking it to the cross and letting him deal with it, because that's why he died. Now notice the Bible, look at here in verse 4. Here the Bible said in verse 3, Moses said, "I'll now turn aside and see this great sign, why the bush is not consumed." You know, the bush is a type of the Jewish people down in affliction and in their bondage. And that fire's burning, but they're not consumed. Hey, I'll tell you something. You may be in bondage today in some way. You may be in affliction, but I want to tell you something. If you got God on board, you just let God start burning in the midst of your problem, and business is going to pick up. I mean, that bush was burning, but it wasn't consumed. You may think your problems are going to destroy you, but they can't do that if God's on board. If you're yielded to God, they're not going to destroy you. But notice this. In verse 7, Moses said, "I'll turn and see." Look at verse 4. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. Now look at that. God is looking for some people that's got time to listen to him. God's looking for some Christians. God's looking for some people that's got time to spend with him. God does some great things in your life, and you ought to stop and acknowledge him and say, "Hey, God surely is working in my life. God's aware of who I am. God's aware of my life." And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. And notice this, he gave him a divine call. And then he gave him a distinctive call. He said, "Moses, Moses." He called. There are some places in the scripture where God spoke people's names twice. Hey, if he just says that one time, you better listen. But when God says, "Moses, Moses," when he says, "JW, JW," or your name, You better pay attention. God's got something special that he wants to say that's out of the ordinary. And he called to Moses and he said, here am I. Oh, if we just be yielding to God and we wouldn't be stubborn and stop our ears and say, and when God speaks to us, and listen, if you're saved, you know when the Holy Spirit's speaking. You know there's something different about that voice when the Holy Spirit speaks. Moses said, here am I. But now look at verse 5. He said, draw not nigh hither. And I'll come back to that in a minute. And all. But he drops a bomb on him. He said, Moses, I'm the Lord God of your fathers. And when Moses heard that, listen to me, he had ignored that for 40 years. Listen to me, I want you to consider something. That it had been 40 years since God and Moses had had any fellowship. Now I want you to think about that. It had been 40 years. I don't think Moses built an altar over there. I don't think Moses read the law book over there. For 40 years, Moses had no fellowship, apparently, with God. And now, here, somewhere, he heard. He said, I'm the God of your fathers. And the Bible said that Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look on God. Now, I want to tell you something this morning, friend. I'll come back and I'll finish the message right there in a minute. But notice this. He said, and he was afraid. And listen to me. We got folk today that are not afraid of holy things. We got folk today that's Christian things and Christianity is a big joke to them. And all. And it's just a joke. Church is a joke. The Word of God's a joke. You know yourself, if you watch much TV, a lot of the comedians and all like that, they want to make a joke. They make a joke out of Christianity. They make a joke out of fundamentalists. They make a joke out of what we believe. They make a joke out of this book. But I want to tell you, one day the life will be on the other side of their face because they're the holy God that's going to call us all into judgment. Then notice, not only the bush that was burning the bomb that God dropped on him, he said, I'm going to send you. He said, I've seen the affliction of my people. I've heard their cry. And I'm going to send you, Moses, back to Egypt. I can imagine Moses saying, God, have you prayed about this? Oh, listen, notice this. The bush, the bomb. But look at verse 11. There was a battle. Look what God said here in verse 8. He said, I know their sorrows, verse 7, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Now listen to me. Look at me a minute. Israel had cried to God for 430 years in their battle, and it was bitter. Many of them had died in bondage. Many of them had died because of their afflictions. Many of them had been beat to death and whipped. And there was still a group out of that people that kept crying out to God to send a deliverer. And God announces to Moses, a backslid Baptist on the other side of the desert, I've heard their cry and I have come down. Hey, Moses, I'm here, boy. Amen. Israel didn't know it. Israel didn't know it, but God said, I've come down to deliver. And I want you to know something. God don't try to do anything. God just says, I'm here to do it, and I'm going to do it. Amen? But look at this. Look at the battle. Moses had proved himself in fleshly efforts for Pharaoh. And we read, a Jewish historian said that Moses fought the military battles for Pharaoh's army, that he led him in mighty battles, and he had been a hero up until the time he killed that Egyptian. But look at the battle that Moses had in yielding to God, and it's some of the same battles that you have. Look, first of all, in verse 11, here's what he said. Now, God said, come now, I'll send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, I want you to notice something. God didn't say, well, I want you to go down and try to reason with him, and I want you to go down there and see if you just can't get on his good side. And see if you know somebody that's got some favor with Pharaoh and all. And no, God didn't do that. He said, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, you're going to bring them out of Egypt. Look at this in verse 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I? They wrote that song, who am I that a king should die for? Who am I that he should say, not my will, but thine for? First of all, Moses said, I am unworthy. Who am I, Lord? I'm not worthy to do this. I'm unworthy to do this. God spoke to him, and I want to tell you something. You ain't worthy to be saved. And I ain't worthy to be here, stand here preaching this morning. And if you want to be honest about it, you ain't worthy to even sit in God's house this morning. Every one of us ought to be in hell with a broke back. But God, in loving mercy and grace, redeemed us, forgave us of every sin, cleaned us up, washed us, put his Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Amen. And praise God, and we can holler boo at the devil this morning. Amen. I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and there ain't a stinking thing he can do about it. Amen. I like to remind him of that every once in a while. There ain't nothing he can do about it. Amen. Notice Moses said, I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy. Oh, and then in verse 14, he said, I'm unknowing. I'm ignorant. He said, I just don't know. He said, I'm unknowing. I don't know. Oh, but listen to me. He said in verse 12, God said, all right, now listen to me. I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. God said, Moses, let me give you something, and I'll remind you of it later. When you bring them out of Egypt, you'll worship on this mountain. I mean, God's pretty specific. And God said, he said, I'm unworthy. And look at verse 14. God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. He's going to go back and he's going to say, God, they're going to say, well, who died and left you in charge? That's the pew vernacular. He said, hey, you just go tell them that I am sent you. Look at verse chapter 4, verse 1. Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me. Now hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. They'll say, hey, you're lying? Huh? You're lying? Boy, listen to me this morning. Moses saying, I'm unauthorized. They'll say, I'm unauthorized. They'll say, I don't have the authority to do this. And God said, hey, you just tell them I am sent you. Then he said, and look at verse 10 of chapter 4, and I'm getting to the message. Look at verse 10 of chapter 4. He said, I'm not able to do that. Moses said unto the Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech, and I have a slow tongue. Lord, I can't even speak plain for spluttering. I am unable. But then the real gist of the thing, look at verse 13. Moses just said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. In other words, Moses said, God, I ain't going. I'm unable. I'm unworthy. I'm unknowing. I don't think I'm authorized. And more than that, I'm unwilling. We use all them other excuses when we all just cut to the chase and say, God, I ain't going to do it. I don't plan on doing it. I'm unwilling to do it. I ain't. We say, well, I would help teach Sunday school, but, you know, I just ain't, you know, I just don't know as much as somebody else knows and all like that, and I would help Nawana and all like that. I would come to church on Wednesday nights, but, you know, it's just hard to get out through the week. And why don't you just get honest and say, hey, I ain't going to do it. And you holler and you use Well, I just ain't got time, and I'm uneducated, and I'm on this, and I'm on that. But why don't you just get honest with the Holy Ghost and what he already knows and say, I ain't going to do it because I'm unwilling to do it. You say, well, I'd like to... I wish another church had called you as pastor. Well, good. Have somebody in Florida on the beach call me, will you? If you're going to pray me out of here, pray me in a good position. Right on the ocean. But I want you to look at something. Notice his banishment. Moses said... Moses had been away. He'd been cut off from his people. He's 40 years back there, and he had done checked himself out of the ministry. He'd done checked himself out. And he said, I'm content. I'll just stay right here. You know what? I sung the quartet from the time that I was about, me and Don started singing in church when we was about 11 years old, I guess. And I sung in court, started singing with men three and four times my age when I was 15 years old. And I made up my mind that that's what I'd do. I'd just sing. I'll never forget. I was going to quit singing the quartet I was with, and we went over to Hilton one night, and there was a group of black folk had come to that church to sing. And they got up, we got up and sung that night, and they said, well, this is J.W.'s last night with us. And you know, and he feels like the Lord's got something else for him to do, you know, and this and that and the other. And they was that, I'll never forget two black ladies coming to me. One of them said, son, has the Lord called you into the ministry? I said, oh, no. Oh, no. No, no. Lord lying between my teeth. But I said, no, no. I hadn't made up my mind that I was going to, I just sang. I didn't intend to preach. We went to Johnson City one night and got up and sung, and people sitting everywhere. And God got a hold of me, and I started squalling, crying, just giving God the glory. And the pastor of that church stood up in front of God and that whole crowd and pointed his finger right at me and said, young man, the Holy Ghost said. He didn't say, I think, or it seems to me, or I've heard, but he pointed his finger at me and he said, the Holy Ghost said to tell you that what he called you to do years ago, he hadn't changed his mind. And Moses in the backside of that desert had been back there 40 years, thought he was hid. And what God had planned for his life, he hadn't changed his mind. I want to tell somebody in here this morning that what God called you to do years ago, he ain't changed his mind about it. Amen. Notice, but I want to go back and here's the message. Look what he said in verse 14. God said unto Moses, I am that I am that I am. You go tell them I am sent you. I found this. I don't know any Greek or Hebrew. The only Greek I know used to run a bakery. The Hebrew used to have a loan office down on Broad Street. That's all I know about. But I read about that said that in the Hebrew there's 12 ways to say I am. Listen, I am that I am. I was that I am. I shall be that I am. I am that I was. I was that I was. I shall be that I was. I am that I shall be. I was that I shall be. And I shall be that I shall be. Oh, you'll get that when you get to the house. You'll be called wanting a copy of this. But he said, I am. You say, am what? I am. Anything you need, I am. Anything this world requires, I am. Any authority that's needed, I am. But let me give you this, and this is the message. We got in, me and Don drove with Damon over to Greensburg Tuesday night. He had to sing with Kyle and them over to Jubilee, and Jimmy Dillon's church. And we got in the car, and I'd been reading on this scripture. God, boy, dropped it like a cinder block in my heart, Bundy. And we got in the car and started out the road. Damon was driving, and the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. Just simple, but oh God, how God gripped my heart. The Holy Ghost said, I got to think about God calling Moses to him out of that bush. When Moses thought he was washed up, he thought his life was over. But the Holy Spirit of God spoke to my heart, listen, folk, and said, there's nothing greater than him calling you to come to him. There is nothing greater. You know, you ought to read your Bible every day, and you should pray. But, boy, there's them special times when God says, come here. Amen. Have you ever had them times? And listen, it don't happen every day. It don't happen every month, usually. There's some special times, Carly, in my life when I know that God has said, come here. And listen, Lord, my soul, I remember when I was living up in the parsonage at Gunnings, and Damon was just a little baby. And I remember I'd studied, I'd have me the best outline you've ever seen. I was going to preach Sunday morning. And many a time on Sunday mornings about 5 o'clock, I've had the Holy Ghost come by and just go, get up, come in here, I'm going to show you something. Man, I'd get out of that bed and I'd get in there and get that Bible. And most of the time, Sam, I'd sit and open that Bible. And I didn't know where to turn to, didn't know nothing about it. But when that Bible had opened, it opened to a very scripture and a very verse. And God would say, right here. And I'd sit there and I'd get to it and I'd get excited. Listen, I'm honest to God, folk. I have got up and walked around the hall of the house with my fist crammed in my mouth to keep them shouting and waking Damon and Francis up. Because God would just, listen to me, folk, listen to me. When the Holy Spirit of God, I don't care what you're doing or how busy you think you are, when that voice, that special voice, that special time that he comes and he tugs at your coat, he tugs at your sleeve, he says, come here, darling, I would need to talk to you. You better take time to listen. But here it is. Here's the message. Moses got attracted. God got his attention. God got his curiosity, his interest. And he said, come here. Moses said, here I am. And he started toward the bush. And God said, Moses, stop. There ain't nothing wrong with chewing gum. Chew it myself. There ain't nothing wrong with eating peppermint candy. I do it myself. But folk, when he calls and says, I need to talk to you, I don't go in flipping my keys. Chewing gum, yeah, quite neat. But here's what the Holy Ghost told me. And I want you to listen to me, church. God said, there's a boundary around me. I want to tell you this morning, friend, he is a holy, holy, holy God. Amen. And you don't mess with his holiness. You don't ignore his holiness. You don't nonchalantly act like, God, I'm busy, but I'll try to take a few minutes for you. I'll do it for you as a favor. No. There's a boundary. He said, before you come any closer to me, number one, Moses, you need to know who I am. I mean, really, yeah, well, you're God. No, Moses, no, you don't see. You need to know who I am. I'm a holy God. And Moses, before you come any closer, take your shoes off. They took their shoes off for two reasons. Number one, it was a sign of servanthood. When I took my shoes off, if I lived in that day and I took my shoes off in your presence, I was saying, I'm your servant. And I read that when they took their shoes off, they were saying, I'm letting you see the real me. God said, Moses, I need to talk to you, son, but you're going to have to get real. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, if God's going to do business with us, if God's going to use us, we got to get real with him. I'll look at it. God said, I don't want you to just run in, but I want you to realize there's a boundary of holiness around me. And there's nothing greater. There's nothing greater than God calling you to him and saying, I want to talk to you. Amen. Amen. I still ain't told you what's in my heart, and I can't get it out. But I'll just trust the Holy Spirit. Just fill in the blanks. But I want to ask you a question. Have you even got time to talk to God? Have you got time to listen to him? Because there's some special times. Me and Francis was driving home one night from church. First, I tried to organize Bible way it was starting. And one Sunday night after we left the house, I'll never forget it, we come down to Stone Drive and we made a right. Sam off of Stone Drive going down to Lynn Garden Drive. And I was so lonely, the loneliest feeling just overwhelmed me. And in my heart, I didn't say it out loud, but in my heart, and I just wanted to run back and get everybody that had been at church and just get them all back and start church again that night. And I told God, I was just about to bawl. And my insides are killing me. And I couldn't understand it. And I still can't explain it to you. But I said, God, I'm so lonely. I am so lonely. Lord, I'd just like to go get everybody back in and have church again tonight. And he just spoke to me in that still small voice and said, son, I know how you feel. Because I feel like that a lot of times when I want to have fellowship with you and you're too busy having fellowship with everybody else. A man had a dream. He went back to his church. He went down the lights were out, and he come down the aisle of the church. And as he got closer to the pulpit, he saw Somebody stood at the pulpit. When he got there, it was the Savior. And he said, "Jesus, what are you doing here?" And he said, Jesus had the saddest look on his face and said, he lifted up his hands and said, chains rattled. And he said, "Lord, who done that to you?" And he said, "My people." He said, "They worship me and they sing about me while they're here. But when they leave, they chain me till they get back." Don't be guilty of coming to church, singing our songs, sit and listen to the preacher, give him lip service, and then chain him to your seat till you get back tonight. Fanny Crosby, I believe it was, or his Miles, whatever his name was, I can't remember his name, but he wrote and he said, "I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I'm his own." Adam and Eve had that privilege in the morning of time to walk in the garden with God and to have fellowship with him. But they made a conscious choice to do their own thing and go their own way. And the next time God showed up, they ran and hid because they knew they wasn't in shape to be in his. See, when you get backslid, when you get self-centered and it's all about you, you don't want to be around God. Because if you get in his presence, it's going to be about him. I guarantee you it's going to be about him. There's a boundary around him. And listen, he'll let you through, but he won't let you through until you acknowledge who he is, how holy he is, how good he is. Could I tell you this morning, God's been good to me. You may be hiding on the backside of the desert this morning, but I want to tell you, you ain't got away from God. You ain't got away from him. It may be 40 years down the road, but somewhere God will call your number. And you and God will have to do business while they come to the instruments. I had to preach overtime this morning because it could come at 12 inches of snow, 4-6, and we wouldn't get back. And all I've been wanting to tell you this morning, I don't know how to tell you, but he's a holy God. And he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. Let's stand.
Five 41.
My Father, in Jesus' name, thank you this morning for the privilege and the honor to stand and preach the message you gave me. God, I didn't get it across like I wanted to, but I pray, sweet Jesus, the Holy Ghost of God, we'll get in the car with everybody and go home. And Lord, you tell them what you want them to know. Oh, God, may we not get so busy with TV and magazines and CDs and neighbors and McDonald's. God, that we don't have time to listen, and when you want to speak to us, spend time with you. God, thank you for our salvation. God, may you never fill out a place at Homeland Baptist Church. God, may we never get so self-centered, God, that we don't fail to exalt the Son of God, that we make you everything because you are everything. God, maybe this morning you've went into that desert. Somebody maybe this morning is in a desert experience like old Moses. They ain't killed nobody. But God, they've just felt like it's just all over. Moses felt like it's no use. And Moses didn't intend to face. Oh, God. God, help folks this morning. Help us all. God, to be yielded to you. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And some have already started moving to the altar. Maybe you just need this morning just to come and tell Jesus, Jesus, I've not took a lot of time for you, but I want you to be number one in my life. Lord, I want that fellowship. I want that sweet, holy fellowship with you. Maybe there's an issue like Moses that you're trying to run from and you're afraid to face it. But folks, sooner or later, you're going to face it. Sooner or later, you'll have to face it. You'll have to deal with it. Why don't you just come this morning? God ain't mad at you. God ain't wanting to kill you. God loves you. But come this morning and do business with God. I don't know what you need to talk to him about. I don't know what he wants with you. But I want you to come this morning, will you? We're going to sing. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I'm his own. You're his own. He loves you. Why don't you, with our heads bowed and while he leads us this morning, why don't you just slip out of that seat? Come on, will you? Come on. Get honest before a holy God this morning. Come on. Come on. Come on.
While the dew is still on the roses and the voice I hear
falling on.
Son of God is Moses,
and he walks
with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own,
and the joy.
So sweet, the birds hush their singing,
and the
melody that he gave to me
within
my heart
is ringing,
and he walks with me.
Let's bow our heads, Phil, just sing that verse yourself. And if you will, that verse you're getting ready to sing, you just come, will you? One other verse.
I'd stay in the garden with him.
Yeah, I'd stay with him.
Though the night around me be folding, honey bids me
devotion to him.
Is calling and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own and the joy that we share as we
folks, I just want us to bow our heads. We just want to stay in the presence of God this morning. Don't be quick to rush out of His presence. Folk are still coming, and I'm not going to shut down while folk are coming to do business with God. Whatever you need to tell Him, whatever you need to talk to Him about. And I wonder this morning while we're here and our heads are bowed, one for somebody in here this morning, just raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. Not saved. Pray for me, will you?" Would you slip that hand up this morning? Say, "I need the blood applied to my heart. I want to go to heaven, but I'm not ready." Would you hold that hand up where I can see it and put it down? God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Somebody else this morning, would you raise that hand? Church, would you pray? Would you pray? Somebody else this morning, would you raise that hand and say, "Pray for me. I'm not saved. I'm not ready. Pray for me, will you? Will you do that?" While they keep playing, while our heads are still bowed and folk are praying, I want for folk here this morning to say, "Preacher, if I'd be honest about it, I'm not where I ought to be with God. I've pushed God to the limit. I've just pushed Him out of my time. I don't have time for Him. And Preacher, I need God." I want to tell you something, friend. You don't know when emergency is going to come up. You're going to need Him quick. And you're going to need to be on praying ground quick. Maybe your child, your companion, your grandchild, or whatever. But you're going to need God. You're going to need Him. And what place does He occupy in your life this morning? And I want to say to you that raised your hand and said, "I'm not saved." Listen, I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm not coming back to you. If God's speaking to your heart, why don't you come this morning? We'll pray with you. We're here to help you. We're not here to look down on you. We're not here to embarrass you. There's a whole house full of people that at one time had to admit that we was lost. But God saved us. He forgave us. Why don't you just slip out of that seat, if you will, and come on. We'll pray with you. We'll meet with you. We'll tell you. We'll show you from the Word of God how you can know that you're going to heaven. Will you? Will you? Oh, what a Savior. 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 Amen. Praise God and the Lamb. I like to go to the Father's house and Him be home, don't you? Amen. Praise the Lord. I talk to pastors about every week, and you know, our church, I don't know, our church this past year, I don't know when sickness has just been, seemed like this year has been a bad year for sickness, and of course, we've had death, but I talk to other pastors, and their church is going through the same thing, it just hits everywhere, and I tell you, I'm glad God understands, and I'm glad God will help us. Amen. I'm glad you came this morning. I'm not going to keep you. But if God's moving, I'm going to stay with Him. But I trust you'll be back tonight and see what God has for us. And I appreciate the Lord's blessings this morning. and His sweet spirit. Amen. And I pray that you'll have a good afternoon. Drive careful. Have a good meal. And I don't have to tell you to do that. You'll do that anyhow. Amen. But I praise the Lord. I think Francis is even cooking soup beans, Jerry. Yeah, I wanted to shorten the message this morning because I know what was waiting at the house, but I you know, what time we're going to have it, I'll call you. Amen. Well, I don't think weather's supposed to get any worse. If it something was to change, we'll change the message line about 4 o'clock, but I don't think it's supposed to. I think it's just rain and cold weather from here on out. So you be back tonight. Bundle up and come on. Well, you see, but now I'll tell you something. I don't care if you have to get a four-wheel drive and have the City of Kingsport with their big old road grader push you to work. You'll go to work in the morning. I don't care. So you get your hide in here in church tonight. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you. Have a good evening. You're dismissed.
Choir practice, 4 o'clock. Thank you.